Father, thank you for what we've already sensed today in the worship and the time of communion, Lord. We thank you that you're in our midst. Lord, we believe the promise that says where two or three are gathered, you are there in a very special way, that you manifest yourself in a corporate anointing, a corporate gathering. Lord, I ask that as we now study and we continue this series on biblical prosperity, that you would open the eyes of our heart. Lord, that we would have more than just head knowledge. Lord, we desire to have a heart knowledge. We desire to have a revelation knowledge. I want everyone to say this out loud. Holy Spirit, I open my heart to receive your word. Change my life. Move me to higher ground. My mind is open. My heart is open. I'm a receiver, not a resistor. I'm a receiver. In Jesus' name. Praise God. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to start there in just a moment. I want to give you the title and encourage you to write this title down. This is a title that is probably unusual. Many of you may have never heard any teaching along these lines, but I want you to write the title down, Tithing with Your Mouth. Tithing with Your Mouth. Everybody say, my mouth. Now, we're in the middle of a biblical prosperity series. This is our number 5 session, our 5th session. And let me just review for you, kind of catch our minds back up where we've journeyed from and prepare us for where we're going. If you remember, our first session was entitled, As a Man Thinketh. And we talked about core values for success, that however you think about things, that's going to determine your level that you can rise to in life. And these tapes, by the way, are also available in the foyer. Session 2, we talked about levels of prosperity. Do you remember that one? We talked about manna provision. That's just barely get by survival, day by day provision. And thank God for manna provision. It actually can be miraculous to have manna provision, but God doesn't want us to stall out at the survival level. We said the second level was something called breakthrough provision. And you know, some people, they finally learn how to go from manna provision to breakthrough provision. But that's not God's best either. Breakthrough provision is when you just, your back's against the wall, you need a breakthrough. And you cry out to God and you do the things that you need to do and you get a breakthrough, and then God says, well, that's good and well, but I'd really like you to get on over to the third level, and that's more than enough provision. Everybody say more than enough. In our third session, we talked about seed faith living. Seed faith living. We talked about the rhythm of life. We talked about the fact that when God made the declaration that as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. It'll always be here. And the New Testament really picks up on the seed concept. In fact, Jesus is called the seed of God. And so we see that God thinks about the seed, that our faith can become like a seed and our lives should become a seed. Everything we view should be a seed. So when we give, whether it's encouragement, you know, whether somebody, you bake a pie for somebody and you give it, you know, as a seed, whether you just give someone counsel, timely counsel, you should see that as a seed. In our last session, session 4, we talked about first fruits and leftovers. Hallelujah. God doesn't want your leftovers. He wants your first fruits. And that is an eternal principle. He wants you to think about Him off the top first and not, you know, well, if there's anything left in my life, then I'll present that to the Lord. Okay, with that background, what I'd like to do is I'd like to spend the first part of our session today reviewing, and I want you to write this subtitle down, reviewing some biblical principles on how to release your faith. Biblical principles on how to release your faith. So before we really jump into this tithing with your mouth idea, we need to review something very basic, and that is, how do I release my faith? Because when it comes to offering time, and in our biblical success series, we've been talking about how God's success doesn't just deal with money. In fact, that's more of a minor issue. God deals more with our spirits and on the inside, but He does eventually want to deal with our outside. But a lot of people, when it comes to offering time, they think by just, you know, putting their offering in or their cash in or their check in, that is the whole thing of tithing. And the first person I ever really heard to teach about this was Kenneth Copeland. How many of you like to hear Kenneth Copeland teach? And Kenneth was the first one that made me aware that the tithe is different than tithing. In other words, the money is the tithe, but the tithing is the heart and the mouth that's put into it. Oh boy, that's good. So there's a tithe, and then there's the tithing process, which is where you release your faith. Because a lot of people, they just give religiously. Well, here comes the hat, so, you know, I don't want to look unholy, so I'll put something in. So I reach in my pocket, you know, and hope I don't get that 20 that I know was in there, and make sure I get George, you know, George Washington, the $1 bill guy. Honey, that guy's been to church more than any man needs to go to church. How many of you know that? If he ain't got it by now, you know, he ain't going to get it. And they just kind of throw it in religiously, don't think about it, and don't have any faith mixed with it. And we understand that everything needs to operate by faith. All right, so tithing with your mouth really gets into this realm of, it's more than just the offering, it's the heart and the spirit behind it that's going to give it power for you. Verse 13, I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Paul says, we have the same spirit of faith. Everybody say spirit of faith. Everybody say spirit of faith. Now, I want to tell you something. There's a difference between a message on faith and somebody who's caught the spirit of faith. There's a difference between fruit or developed faith, and there's a difference between the gift of faith. But God says, I want you to get into the spirit of faith. See, some people, they drift into faith once in a while. They hear a good message and for several days they're in the realm of faith. Some people, they might even have the gift of faith rise up in them occasionally, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit. But God says, you know, I want you to live a lifestyle where you're living in the Spirit. Your first reaction is faith. You don't have to think about, let's see, what was that principle of faith? Your first reaction is faith. Paul says we have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. Now, here's the spirit of faith. I want you to mark this. I believe, there's step number one. I believe, and therefore have I... Everybody say spoken. I want to tell you something. Whatever you believe, you're going to speak. Whatever you believe, you're going to speak. Now, that's true even if it's in the negative. If you believe nothing's working out for you and you're a worthless person and, perhaps you should have never been born and people get into that type of a negative side of life, you watch it, their mouth will begin to speak it. Some people, if Jesus Christ Himself showed up to present them a miracle, they couldn't receive it because they would bind Him up with their doubt and unbelief. It's like at birthday or Christmas time, if somebody wants to give you a gift, they may have the want to, but how many of you know you got to reach out and get it? Everybody say, reach out. Take it. He says, I believed and therefore have I spoken. Now, he's quoting from the Psalms there, and he's saying that worked in the Old Covenant and it works right now too. Therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore what? Now, what's he talking about here? Well, if you look at the verses above and below it, you'll figure it out. He's talking about all the troubles he had. Look at verse 8. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Look at verse 8. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Now, you see, some people would have written it this way. We're troubled on every side and wiped out. We're perplexed, and we're telling everybody that we're perplexed. We're persecuted, and we know that we're forsaken. Paul said, no. Because we have a spirit of faith, regardless of what we're going through, we are believing and speaking for the resurrection power of God to manifest on our behalf. Look at verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that, underline this, the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. He says, even though we're facing all these problems, our dependency, our sufficiency, our declaration is that the resurrection power of God will show up and deliver us. Go on down to verse 16. Kind of summarizing the chapter. He says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. He says, so you know what? We're not really looking on the outside. We're looking on the inside. And if you've been with us in our previous biblical success sessions, we have said that God always starts on the inside. You remember that? God's prosperity does not start on the outside. God's prosperity starts on the inside. That's why in Genesis 39, he could say of Joseph, who was a slave at the time and owned literally nothing, God could look at that slave and say, he is a prosperous man. Put your hand right here on your chest. I want everybody to say this out loud. Prosperity is who I am, not what I have. Oh, that's good. See, some of you are waiting to get prosperous when you already are prosperous. I said, you're waiting to get prosperous when you already are prosperous. Now you got to start thinking right. You got to start believing right. We've been over this. You've got to start decreeing right and ask God to begin to walk you into a new level. You can't wait till you get it. Till you get it, you won't get it. Did y'all get it? Verse 17. For our light affliction. Now, he called all that stuff light affliction. Don't tell me you got problems. Pastor, I'm having a hard day today. Okay, let me rally with you. What's going on there? Well, I left a track in the bathroom and somebody threw it down and stomped on it. Hurted my feelings. Oh, you've been mightily persecuted. I can see that. That doesn't even fall into the category of light persecutions. Paul says in verse 17, for our light affliction, I mean his shipwrecks, his jailings, his stonings, his beatings, his perplexity, his despair, all that stuff, he said, that's just light stuff. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. How does that happen? Well, you got to do verse 18. While we look, everybody say look. I got a question for you. What are you looking at? What are you looking at? I'm not just preaching. I'm telling you the truth. A lot of people, they look at their past all the time. You cannot drive a car by staring in the rearview mirror. You're an accident waiting to happen. Now, it doesn't hurt to glance up there once in a while or hit your side mirrors, but you need to look down the road where you're going. I remember when I was first driving years and years ago, my daddy was giving me, I thought I had it figured out. He had a boat of a car back then. I forget what it was, some kind of big old Pontiac, you know. And I figured, man, it had a little doodad on the hood, you know, the ornament they used to put on the hoods. And I thought, man, if I line that ornament up with that line right on the side of the road, I just saw that. I said, if I just keep that ornament lined up with that line, I'm in the lane perfectly going down the road. That's wonderful until the line stops. And I remember one day I was driving, I wasn't looking, I almost ran over road workers, some construction crews out there, because I've got my little lineup going. And that's the way a lot of Christians are. They're looking right now, right now, right now, or they're looking in the rearview mirror. They're not looking where they're going. And in an accident, you're going to run over somebody. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Everybody say not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And go back to verse 13. That's what Paul is talking about. I said, I got a spirit of faith. He said, I'm on a mission. I got churches to plant. I've got leaders to raise up. I'm not letting a little thing like a shipwreck in the Mediterranean get in my way. I'm not letting a jail cause me to stumble. I'll have a jailhouse rock, hallelujah, and break out of this joint. And on my way out, I'll get the jailer saved. Hallelujah. I mean, he knew where he's going. I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission. I got things to do, people to see, places to go. I've got a spirit of faith in me, and I'm believing it, and I'm speaking it. I'm speaking it. Are you getting this? Now watch this. Don't miss this. We understand this for salvation. We understand you got to believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. We're going to go over that in a moment, that Jesus is Lord. Is that not right? We understand that. We even understand that some degree regarding character development. We understand after you walk to the Lord enough that, I can't live this life. I don't have what it takes, so I think what I'll do is yield to Christ. We should have started there. And so finally you just say, you know, I believe the Holy Spirit is in me. I believe the love of God has already been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. I believe that God's resources are in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. So now I decide to yield. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your kindness. And you're now yielding and confessing, believing and confessing that which God has done for you, right? But do we understand this when it comes to tithes and offerings? Understand what? That's why I'm preaching on it. Understand that when you put your offering in, you don't just plop it in and watch it go around and wonder where they take it. When you put it in believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. And you learn that tithing is more than just putting it in the plate. That's the tithe. You've got to do the process of tithing where you've got to mix faith with it. Mix faith with it. Faith that it's going to, number one, advance the cause of Christ. And number two, faith that the word is true, that God will bless you in return. And He'll begin to honor your life and promote your life as you have honored Him. Go with me to Romans 10. You getting anything? Oh, this is a powerful thing. To learn how to mix faith with your giving. Romans chapter 10. It's kind of like putting seed in the ground and never watering it. There's life in the seed, but it has to be watered. It has to have germination happen. And there's a lot of people that put their seed in the ground and they're not watering it with their believing and their speaking. That is the release of their faith. Romans chapter 10, go to verse 8. Now remember, we're reviewing the biblical principles on how to release your faith in general, whether it's for salvation, whether it's for your character being developed, whether it's for a miracle that you're believing for. And now we're going to be relating it, see, to our tithes and our offerings. Verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy what?
Mouth.
All right, you need to mark that. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Now, there's something in the Bible, you may want to jot this in the margin of your Bible, or perhaps in your note-taking. There's something that I refer to, I call it the heart and mouth connection. Your heart is connected to your mouth, and your mouth is connected to your heart. What you believe in your heart will eventually find its way to your mouth. And the reverse can be true. What you put in your mouth enough will eventually find its way to your heart, which is a good process to turn it around and reprogram yourself. And that's why meditating and confessing and speaking and quoting the Bible, the Word of God, is so important to get faith down in you. Faith comes by hearing. The first person you need to hear is you. Not the preacher, not your friend, not your care leader. It's you. You need to be hearing you. Your ears need to hear your words speaking the Word. Faith comes by hearing. But he said, what is it? The Word is near thee, even in the heart and in the mouth. Thy mouth and in the heart. That is the Word of faith. So underline that. So there it is. The Spirit of faith. The Word of faith. That's how faith works. Faith works by seeing it, saying it, and doing it. Remember that? See it. Everybody say, see it.
See it.
Say it.
Say it.
Do it. A little faster now. See it. Say it. Do it. One more. See it. Say it. Do it. Oh, yeah. See it. Say it. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's faith. Sing your way into victory. Look at verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, there it is again. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall, there it is, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what?
Saved.
Now come on, you know, we believe that about salvation. I mean eternal salvation of your souls. But when it comes over to character or giving, well, I'm not sure how to do it. Well, if it works for the greater than, it'll work for the less than. Is there anything greater than the salvation of your soul? No. Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? There's nothing greater than salvation through Jesus Christ of your very life for eternity. Well, the same principles that are true for salvation are true for every other area. Look at verse 10. For with the heart, there it is. It starts where? On the inside. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto what? Now, verse 10 is a principle that you need to get a hold of for anything that you're doing. For with the heart I'm believing, with the mouth I'm confessing. Say it. For with the heart I'm believing, with the mouth I'm... Say it again. With the heart I'm believing, with the mouth... Now, we just saw it in that scripture that it's true for salvation. But you know, you business people need to get hold of this. With your business, you need, with my heart I'm believing for favor in the marketplace, and with the mouth I'm confessing for favor in the marketplace. Parents, get hold of this for raising your children. For with my heart I'm believing for my children to grow up and love God and be responsible, etc., etc., and with my mouth I'm confessing it and decreeing it prophetically. Every area. With your own self. There's some areas that you're frustrated in your own life with. Instead of, you know, bawling and squalling and asking God to send more of His glory down, He's filled you up with His glory, Christ in you, the hope of glory. With the heart, I'm believing that I have a victory over that anger in my life. And with the mouth, I'm confessing that I have victory over anger in my life. Or whatever area that you're dealing with. Isn't that good? That's pretty simple. A child could get hold of that. For with the heart and with the mouth. With the what? With the heart and with the mouth. Now, with that New Testament summary, and there are many places we could go, let's go to Deuteronomy 26 and specifically begin to look at this realm of giving. This is an awesome passage. If you've never seen this passage, boy, you're going to want to really mark your Bible up when we go through this. Deuteronomy chapter 26. Deuteronomy chapter 26. And I'm transitioning now, and I would encourage you to indicate that in your note-taking. Let's see how these same principles of faith apply in the realm of our giving. Amen? Let's specifically find some passages in the Bible that talk about tithing with your mouth, with your heart and with your mouth. This is one of the best ones I can find. Deuteronomy 26, and let's go to verse 1. And it shall be when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possesseth it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the leftovers of the earth. Oh, I'm sorry, I misread that. Thank you for catching me. Verse 2, thou shalt take of the first. Everybody say the first. Now, in one of our previous sessions on first fruits and leftovers, remember, the whole concept of first fruits is used interchangeable in the word with tithes. Tithe meaning the first 10%. Off the top, the chief, the best, we've been through that. Thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land, that the Lord thy God giveth thee. Who gave it to you? The Lord did. And shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto a place. I want you to underline that. You're supposed to underline that. You're supposed to specifically go to a place. A place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. Now, it's not their responsibility to come and get it. Hello. It's not their responsibility to send you a reminder letter. That shows your heart's not in it. It's your responsibility to take not the leftovers, the first fruits. You put it in a basket, and you, of your own initiative and volition, you are taking it to the place where you are going to worship God. That's the concept here. And that's what God's looking for. He's not looking for compulsion, manipulation, trickery. He's looking for somebody whose heart is after God and wants to honor God in this way. Verse 2, go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. Verse 3, and thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him. I want you to underline the phrase say. So when you bring your gift, you're going to be saying some stuff. Amen? I said amen?
Amen.
Well, it's just a silent offering. We don't want any silent offerings. Want some noisy offerings. You shall say unto him, and profess. Mark that. You're going to profess. This day unto the Lord thy God. Unto who? The Lord. That I am come into the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thy hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt speak. Underline the term there in verse 5. You'll speak and say. Mark that. You're going to speak and you're going to say before the Lord. Before who? Now, let's just translate that into our culture, the New Covenant, church, etc. That is that, you know, if you're an agricultural society, then you would do the very thing he talks about and put your fruit in a basket. But most of us aren't farmers, at least in this church. I have been in many churches in Kansas and all through there that they are farmers, you know, and that's their produce. But for most of us, you get a paycheck. You have put in hours. You're either paid hourly or salary or weekly, every 2 weeks, whatever. Somewhere you're paid. You've got to live. You're living. You've got to have shelter over here. You've got to have food. And so you are to take the first fruit of what God has blessed you with. Not your employer. Come on. Not all proud that you did it yourself. Well, I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. No, you've got to honor God and say, whatever I have, whether I'm working for IBM or I'm self-employed or got my own business, God has blessed me. And I'm going to take the first fruit of that and I am going to bring it to the place where I worship. And I'm going to present it before the Lord. And when I present it before the Lord, I'm going to say certain things over my giving. And what kind of things are you going to say? And why is it important to do that instead of just, you know, casually throwing a buck in or, you know, just to look like you're participating? He says, no, I want your faith involved. Look at verse 5. Thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God. Now, here, look what you say. A Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down to Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became there a nation great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. I want you to underline a few terms there. Would you underline the phrase Egypt? Egypt? Would you underline the phrase afflicted? Would you underline the term bondage? Are you getting the picture? Are you getting the idea? Verse 7, and when we cried unto the Lord of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked upon our affliction and our labor and our oppression. Hallelujah. Verse 8, and the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. Mark that in your Bible. The Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. Now, what is this person doing in their faith confession over their offering? They're testifying. They're saying, Lord, I thank you that you've delivered me from my bondage. Now, translate that through Jesus Christ in the New Testament. What should our attitude be towards our giving? Well, it should be a joyful heart, a rejoicing heart, rejoicing that Jesus Christ has delivered us and taken us out of the world system, out of sin, out of the grips of Satan. He has delivered us with His mighty hand. Amen. Isn't that good? So every time you give, you should be mindful of that. It's the Lord who did it, and the Lord who's delivered me. But that's not the end of it yet. Oh, it gets gooder and gooder and better and better. Read on. Look at verse 8. The Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, with great terribleness, with signs, with wonders. Well, that sounds like the ministry of Jesus. He's referring to Moses there, but I will tell you, Moses was a type of Christ that was coming to deliver us. Verse 9, He has brought us into this place. Now, notice verses 9 and 10. Don't miss verses 9 and 10. He hath brought us into this place and hath given us this land, underline this, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. Underline that. A land that what? Floweth with milk and honey. Now that phrase milk and honey is a Hebrew idiom, or we would say cliche, meaning abundance and prosperity. So watch this. Here you come with your offering, and it doesn't say how big it is, does it? Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're a farmer who's just getting started. Maybe you've had a tough year that year. And maybe you don't have as much as the guy, you know, in line behind you has. Your declaration is to be the same as his declaration. That is, God has brought me into an abundant, prosperous land. Well, why would God make you say that? To get you in faith. To get you starting to see where you're going instead of looking at the now all around you. Like the spirit of faith says, I believe, therefore have I spoken. Now, it's easy when, you know, it's a reality and you are, you know, living in a nice home and you're driving a nice car and you got clothes and all your... It's real easy to just sit there and rejoice. It's tough, man, when you don't have hardly two nickels to rub together. And you got to sit there and you say, you just make yourself do it. Say, Father, I believe that the land, the heritage that I have through Jesus Christ is an abundant land. I have all things for life and godliness in Christ Jesus. I am seated in heavenly places far above the power of the enemy. I have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Man, that's the spirit of faith. That's somebody that knows who they are because they are prosperous. They will be prosperous. Amen. You getting the spirit of this? Verse 9, you're supposed to say this. He hath brought us into this place, hath given us a land that flows with milk and honey. And now behold, look at verse 10, don't miss it. Now behold, I have brought the leftovers. I paid all my bills and what's left, I'm going to give you a little bit of it, God. Look at verse 10, and now behold, I have brought the first fruits. Everybody say first fruits. Off the top, the chief, the best. Of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord. Underline that. Thou set it before the Lord. Now, a lot of people, you know, they get their eyes off on the preacher. And, so, you know, in a church situation, they give their offering maybe on how the preacher looks. Well, the preacher, you know, he looks desperate. And he's just told a sad story, so let's help the guy out. Well, it's okay to have compassion to help people out, but you need to be given because your motivation is you want to honor God. Well, you know, he's got two rings on his hand, you know, and he's got a nice suit, so he doesn't look like he's in need, so I'm not going to give very much here. You're giving by the natural, and you're giving by visual. You're not giving by what God has told you to do. You're giving based on flesh instead of spirit. Amen. Or if you prefer to hear later, you know, as has happened, that some preacher goes bad, you know, and he's misspent the money or run off with the money and something like that. And feel, well, I guess I wasted my money down at that place. Not if you gave it to the Lord. Not if you gave it for the Lord. Now, obviously, you got to use wisdom. And if you find out something like that and you know for a fact it's true, you don't give there. But you're giving to God. Don't dig your seed up. Notice what he says here in verse 10. Thou shalt set it before the Lord. Everybody say, the Lord. The Lord thy God, and underline this, worship before the Lord thy God. Did you know when you give, it ought to be a time of releasing worship? Well, I sure like the worship team and all they do, and I don't really like that announcement time and giving time. Why do they have to have that in a meeting anyway? Well, I guess they got to pay the electric bill. That's probably what that's all about. You don't have a revelation of worship. You don't have a revelation of worship. That worship is not just when the worship band's up there. Worship is when you give. Worship is when we study. Worship is when you go to work on Monday. Worship is when you're dealing with your children. Your life should be a life of worship. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not to man. Oh, that's a worshiper there. That's a worshiper. God's not just looking for worship service attendees. He's looking for worshipers. This person has a revelation of it. Verse 10, they bring in their first fruits and they set it before the Lord. They've got a revelation that God's there, not just that priest in those days. They see beyond the priest. They see beyond the synagogue, as it were. They see beyond the church. They see God. Verse 11, and thou shalt rejoice. Everybody say rejoice.
Rejoice.
Do I have to give? Well, you don't have to go out the house with your pants on if you don't want to. I mean, you do a lot of things in life, but it's not beneficial. Hey, all things are lawful, but it's not always edifying. Hallelujah. Please spare us. Oh, I'm messing now. I'm messing around with you now. Look at verse 11. Thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thy house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. You're supposed to rejoice about it. Thank you, God, I've got a car to drive. I mean, we take that for granted in this country. You know, a person like James Wasonga from Kenya, those people down there, they're walking, they're riding bicycles. I've been all over the world. I was in India once where the preachers, the ministers of the gospel, they're walking just miles and miles and miles. And I had one guy stand up and he said, I said, you know, present your faith confessions. This guy said his faith confession that he's on a bicycle one day. One day. I sat there and I just thought, I just teared up. I just thought, dear Jesus. We sent him a bicycle. I got a picture of it in my office. We sent him a bicycle. In fact, sent him several. Praise God. So he could pass a couple of them around. Amen. And he sent me back this picture. And he's standing there. I mean, he's standing there like he was standing beside a Dodge Viper. And you see it in his face. It's like, man, I'm tough. Now, I'm really going to even get further out for the gospel. Praise God. He was rejoicing. I'm not ashamed of the blessings that God has given me. I rejoice. I'm not proud in the sense that I did it. I know where my roots are. I just thank God I've got a nice home. I thank God I've got clothes. I've got a car to drive. I've got a family. I've got a congregation that I love them and they love me. Amen. I thank God. I thank God. Amen. Now, I want you to write some specific things down here. Sometimes it helps to enumerate them. What are you instructed to say and profess according to this passage? Number one, what are you instructed to say and profess in this passage? Number one, that we were in bondage in Egypt. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what that means in light of the new covenant. We were in bondage to sin, the world system, the devil, etc. Number two, we are to profess the Lord brought us out of Egypt. That's salvation. We were in bondage. The Lord brought us out of Egypt. That's salvation. Number three, we're to confess and say and remind ourselves, the Lord has given us a rich, abundant land. The Lord has given us a rich, abundant land with plenty of provision. The Lord has given us a rich, abundant land with plenty of provision. Number four, we are to profess that we are bringing our first fruits to the Lord Himself. We are to profess that we are bringing our first fruits to the Lord Himself. Well, that's very important, first fruits. We went through that in our last session, the difference between first fruits and leftovers. And number five, we are to worship and rejoice as we give. We are to worship and rejoice as we give. So, when I finally caught this revelation, I'll tell you this, the honest truth. There is never a time that I don't, when I put the offering in our bucket, or if I'm sending an offering, we support Joyce Meyer every month personally. We support a number of ministries personally every month. That we don't release our faith by our believing, by our speaking. Even if no one else hears it, it's just in my mind, I'm just reminding myself of these points we went through. Lord, I just thank you that you delivered me from bondage. You've saved my soul. Lord, I want to honor you with my offering. And Lord, I thank you that I'm in abundant land. And I just rejoice and I worship you right now. Now, you get in the habit of doing that. Every time you give, suddenly you're not just planting dry seed out there on dry ground. You're putting seed out there and then you're putting moisture and water on it with your faith to cause that thing to activate and germinate and start coming up. The problem is we get a degree of relief, don't we? Have you ever done this? you get a breakthrough in your business, you know, or something good happens, or you get this, and you kind of let down on your faith, and then you coast for about 3 or 4 months. You start wondering, why is everything drying up? You get back, gets wrong, you get a breakthrough provision. Hallelujah. You need to get over to the more than enough provision where you're just in that rhythm of life, seed time and harvest, and your seeds are watered with worship and rejoicing.
Amen.
And life, the faith of God, the faith of God. Isn't that good?
Yes.
Now, go with me to another passage. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. That's easy to find. That's just before Matthew. Malachi chapter 3. By the way, we will be coming back to this passage probably next week in a more detailed fashion. I'm going to read through it rather quickly because there's the portion I want to get to is about the confessing and your words. But let's remember the tithe is different than the process of tithing. Or the gift is different than the process of giving, which should be in faith when you plant your seed. Malachi chapter 3, go to verse 6. Malachi 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I what? Well, you ought to mark that right there. So the things he's going over here, he says, I'm not changing. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers. Now, this is some sad news before good news, all right? From the days of my fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances. I want you to underline the phrase mine ordinances because how many of you know God has a system? God has, can I put it to you different ways? God has principles. God has keys. God has spiritual laws that you have to follow. If you violate those laws, then you hurt yourself. You take forgiveness. If I hold unforgiveness in my heart, the spiritual law is that I open the door to be tormented in my own life. That's a whole other teaching, but the whole realm of strife, we know there's spiritual laws that govern when we release others, we can be released ourselves. If I hold somebody else in bondage, then I'm going to be held in bondage on the inside myself. So, verse 7, he says, God has ordinances, or can I just say it, spiritual laws that are eternal. You've not kept them. Verse 7, return unto me. Thank God there's always hope. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. So, you know, if you're sitting here today and you're saying, you know, I really haven't been giving, I haven't been tithing, I haven't been doing what's right. What God's message to you today is return unto me and I will return unto you. Just correct. Make a correction. Correct your course. When I'm flying our airplane and I'm a little bit off course, periodically you check your course. And I find out I'm a few miles off course. I don't just start, oh, I'm not going to get there, I'm not going to get there. And then watch your passengers fall apart too when the pilot's freaking out, you know. I just correct my course. Everybody say, correct your course. You're going to get there, but you got to correct your course. Verse 7, return unto me and I will return unto you. Verse 8, will a man rob God? Everybody say, yes. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? You underline this in your Bible, in tithes and offerings. That's how you rob God. Or can I read it to you another way? In first fruits and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Pastor's paraphrase. That's why things are hitting the fan. That's why it's not working out. That's why you're continually frustrated. Verse 10, bring ye all the tithes. Everybody say all. Bring the first fruits into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. See, we put our house before God's house, don't we? Well, don't everybody shout me down because I'm preaching so good. I said, we put our house before God's house. Oh, we don't think twice about, you know, pull that credit card out and buy this, buy that. I want to get this couch. I want to get that lamp. I want to do this one. Comes offering time. I got to pray about that. That's the problem. I said that's the problem. And prove me. Now herewith says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed. Everybody's going to see it and say, you're blessed. For you shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. Now, as I said, we're going to go back through that in our next session, but the gist of it is this. There are tremendous, almost unimaginable blessings available for those who begin to honor God with their stuff. With their stuff. Well, I thought you said God's interested in the heart. He starts there. But there's more to it than just your heart. We were teasing the other day. We were watching a basketball game. Steve Skelton and I and Martha and some guy, you know, made a foul. And I said, but he meant well. I wanted to go up to the ref and say, but he intended to do good. And that's kind of the way we are, you know. Well, Lord, my intentions were good. God says, well, I'm glad your intentions were good, but let's go from the heart and let's begin to influence the outside as well. Amen. Relationships are like that. How many of you know you can only put up with intention so long? Finally, you just might say, you know, I'm tired of you telling me you're going to do this. I'd like to see you to change. I heard some amens. Now, here's where I'm going. Look at verse 13. Here's a part of Malachi that is not taught very much when it comes to the tithes and the offerings concerning your words. Won't you mark verse 13? Your words have been stout against me. Now see, he's gone right from talking about tithes and offerings and what God wants to do for you through His blessing, and he said that the other side of it is it's not just the gift, it's the process of the giving. It's not just the check, it's the heart and the faith that's mixed around it. He says in verse 13, your words have been stout against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Now notice verse 13 is a question. And then go back over to verse 8. And notice there was a question. Wherein have we robbed thee? And now verse 13, they're saying, what words have we spoken against you? Are you seeing that? And notice verse 7 again. Go back to verse 7. Mine ordinances. He's saying, okay, there's some spiritual principles here. One of them is the gift. And the other one is the process of the giving and the heart and the words behind it. And he's saying, some of you, not only have you robbed me with your tithes and offerings, your words have been contrary to what I would like to do in your life. You go around saying, the Lord doesn't love me. Nobody cares for me. You go around praying prayers like, Lord, be with me. That's like saying, oxygen, be around me. Just breathe. We're going to say that nothing's working out for me. Oh, this thing's never going to work. Well, if you understood my background, you'd know why I'm like I am. Your words are stout against God, what He can do. My words have the potential to limit God. Now, that's an awesome thought. I said, that's an awesome thought. Verse 13, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Well, he gives you a couple things here. Look at verse 14. You have said, it's vain to serve God. There's one thing right there. You know, it doesn't pay to serve God. Only the good die young. You think about that. The Bible says, no, the righteous have long life. Your words reflect your belief system. The spirit of faith, I believe, therefore have I. Your words and your heart are connected. They reflect one another. What else? He goes on and he says in verse 14, and what profit is that we have kept his ordinances and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. In other words, you say the wicked people, they're the blessed ones. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Well, you know, some people get away with it. They never pay for their crimes. Hold your finger there. Just hold your finger right there. Go with me to Psalm 73. You get anything out of this? Now, we've all thought thoughts like that. Every one of us. David thought thoughts like that. Psalm 73, verse 1. Are you with me? Follow me. He says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as of a clean heart. Verse 2, but as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You ever thought like that? There are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. He was thinking just like what Malachi was talking about. Therefore, pride compasseth them as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than a heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens. Oh man, he's just really on a negative trip here. Look at verse 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hand. Now, we've all thought like that. You know, I'm here, I am serving God, trying to do right and trust the Lord. And where is it getting me? Verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Underline that. Their end. I want to tell you something. Whether a person pays in this life or not, they will pay in the end. Yes, there have been wicked people who have prospered. Yes, there have been dictators who have cruelly and unimaginably mistreated people. They think they got off. They did not get off. This life is not all there is. You go into the sanctuary of God and you get the eternal perspective. And you'll start thinking right. Go back to Malachi. You getting this? Verse 16. Then they that fear the Lord. How many of you reverence, trust, rely on the Lord? Lift your hand here. That's really fear. They that fear the Lord, they reverence God, they want to honor God. Then they that fear the Lord spake often to one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. Everybody say, the Lord heard it. Say, watch this. The Lord hears your words. You put an offering in and you speak something over that, or you speak to someone else and encourage them and help them in their faith. The Lord hears that. And notice He makes a recording of it. Verse 16. A book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. And thought upon His name. The point is this. Tithing is more than just the gift. It's the heart and the confession behind it. Tithing is something that you should regularly do with your mouth every time that you give. I think about my life before I was a tither. And there was a time that I loved the Lord with all my heart. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I just really had not thought about tithing. Hadn't heard any messages about tithing. I'd give compassionately or as the mood struck me. And then I can remember hearing messages about tithing. And it was tough. It was tough to think I could comply with that, because when we would look at our account, what we had, I didn't see how I could live on what I had, much less if I took 10% off of that. Everybody say faith.
Faith.
And that was the issue. I did not have faith, bottom line. So God's going to say, well, we'll make an exception for you. Make an exception for you. You're different than everybody. God says, no, we're going to stretch your faith. And the reason I want you to begin to tithe and give first fruits off the top is that very issue. It's not the money that makes or breaks the bank of heaven. The issue is honoring God, advancing the house of God, and stretching your faith so that you're in more dependency on the Lord. I'll even say this. Folks who find it easy to tithe because they have a lot of money, they need to go way beyond the tithe, and they need to get themselves where they're having to use their faith. That's why He says, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. And so if your giving isn't pushing you into a point of dependency on the Lord, faith is not mixed with it as it ought to be mixed. Now most people, most average Joe, foot soldier in the army of God, they find it mentally challenging to consider tithing, because there's always something to spend your money on. But I remember when I finally made a decision, I said, you know what? I'm buying into this. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to honor God with tithes and offerings, not because I have to, not because I'm trying to earn brownie points. Number one, I want to honor God and I want to trust God. And I believe the word is true that seed time and harvest will not cease. And as I plant my seed, I can expect a harvest to come back to me. And you know what? From that moment in time, it wasn't an instant get-rich-quick scheme. And I'm not one of those preachers that's going to try to sell you that bill of goods. But it was a process where my life started going from blessing to blessing. God began to help me work my way out of problems and situations internally and externally. And I can honestly say I wouldn't go back. I wouldn't go back for all the money in the world. Why? I like trusting God. I like depending on the Lord and seeing the Lord work in my life. I like taking the promises of God and seeing them fulfilled. It's a joy to give my tithes and my offerings to the Lord and His cause. Amen? Now, here's what I want to do. I want to ask you to go ahead and prepare your gifts for our offering here in just a moment. We're going to do it a little bit different today. So those of you visiting, we're doing things a little bit different today by virtue of the teaching. But there should be an envelope in your bulletin. If you would take your bulletin and find that envelope, if you'd like to participate, make checks payable to World Outreach Christian Center or simply WOCC. Now, ushers, you can help me with some envelopes. If you need an envelope, maybe there's not one in your bulletin or you did not pick up a bulletin. If you'd lift your hand at this time, one of our ushers will bring an envelope to you. Anybody need an envelope? Now, here's what we're going to do while you're getting your offering ready. We're going to pass out a confession that I wrote yesterday. And in a moment, we're going to all stand with our gifts in our hand. Now listen, I realize some of you give every 2 weeks and stuff. I want you to participate, too. So we're not looking around seeing who has an envelope. If you've given or if you intend to give later because of your situation, then you say this with as much faith as if you had your envelope in your hand. The point is that we want to get your heart involved. But ushers, if you'd start passing these things out quickly, I need these passed out. We're going to all stand up in just a moment and we're going to have our offering in our hand and we're going to have our confession in our hand and we are going to read this out loud and then I'm going to ask the worship team to be up here and be ready to go. We're going to go straight into a song of worship and we're going to do some rejoicing about our giving. Now, let me say this. Are we getting this on tape too, by the way? Good. I want the whole thing on tape, even the confession. But I am not saying that this is some kind of a magic, you know, prayer confession. My intent is as we confess this, and you'll recognize this as we go through it, this is based off of Deuteronomy 26 and Malachi. But as we say this and we speak it forth, hopefully, number one, we're believing it in our heart, and number two, we're releasing our faith with our mouth. My intent is that you will develop a pattern in your life. Not of saying, you know, what Pastor Jason wrote, but you will flow into the spirit of faith regarding your giving. Now, I'm going to say something to our membership while you're getting ready. We just sent out the financial statements, the giving history of people. Those went out. Only you know, only you can tell as you look at your giving history for last year, and maybe that wasn't even in its entirety, you need to take a serious analysis. I'm challenging you as your pastor. My job is to lead you into spiritual truths and lead you in the ways of the Lord. I'm challenging you as a member of this church to evaluate your life. Has my giving been up to where it needs to be? If it hasn't been, then do exactly what Malachi says. Return unto the Lord and He will return unto you. Just make the adjustment. You say, well, it's going to be tough. It's faith. That's what we're teaching on. You've got to have faith. And as you have faith, give God a chance. Everybody say, give God a chance. He says in Malachi, prove me. Let me demonstrate how I can bless you if you'll just give me a chance. And God, as you honor God, God will honor you. All right, let's stand up together. Does everybody have one? If you need one, quickly raise your hand. And hold your offering in your hand. I'm going to ask the two ushers to come down and get ready to collect the offerings. When we get through with this, we're going to go into a song of worship and praise. And then as the Lord leads you, you come and you bring your gift and present it before the Lord. All right, we're going to read this together. One, two, three, read. Heavenly Father, I come before you now to worship you with the first fruits of my labors. I want to honor you with my life, my words, and my gifts. Therefore, I am bringing my gifts to this place of worship and presenting them to you in the presence of your congregation. I confess this day that I was a lost sinner, in bondage to the power of sin, the world system, and Satan. I gratefully acknowledge that you brought me out of bondage by your mighty hand through the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending your Son to save me. As I worship you today, I reaffirm that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I decree and declare that you have brought me into a rich and abundant place. Through Jesus Christ, I have all things available to me for life and godliness. I am seated in heavenly places in Christ, far above the power of the enemy. I have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. The resources of heaven are at my disposal. Regardless of my present circumstances, my faith confession is that the windows of heaven are open for me. My faith confession is that my land flows with milk and honey. My faith confession is that it is profitable to serve God both now and for eternity. I am not giving because of compulsion or manipulation. I am giving because I want to honor you with my first fruits. I want to position my life and my family for the blessings that belong to givers and tithers. I want to help advance the cause of Jesus Christ. Father, I worship you now with my gifts and rejoice in your salvation and abundant provision. In the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's worship God with that song and let's bring our gifts as the Lord leads you. Thank you.